So today we're celebrating the Pentecost Sunday, and this was a major event in the early church, and it's very relevant to us 2,000 years later. And so I want to, in the next 3 hours, give you a brief history. a brief history of the Holy Spirit's role in the earth. And it will be brief, and it won't be just a few minutes, because I'm tag-teaming with my son Harry today. So at the appropriate time, he's going to take over. Do you have anything? Maybe. We'll see. But anyway, so I'm going to kind of set him up with some things. But so I want to lead into the reading of the account of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. So let's go back to the beginning in Genesis 1. So I'm going to take you through every book of the Bible. No. Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." So from the very foundation, from creation, the Holy Spirit was working with the Father God in the earth. And so if you read in the Old Testament, it talked about the Spirit of God coming upon the prophet, the priest, and the king to do exploits for the kingdom of God. And I want to read one example. There's many. So, he came upon Abraham. He came upon David. He came upon Moses. He came upon Isaiah. Came upon Jeremiah. Came upon Daniel and others. And I want to read an account here of the Spirit of God. Just a brief passage about him coming upon Samson. So let's look at Judges 15, you can probably just follow along. It'll take you too long to find it in your Bible. Judges 15, verse 14. It says, "When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him." The whole thing about the Philistines, the enemy of Israel. "Then the Spirit of the Lord," see this now? "Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him," talking about Samson. "And the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it." And so over and over, you'll see in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God coming on, again, the prophet, priest, or king, to do exploits. And in this situation, came upon Samson. All right, so let's fast forward to the ministry of Jesus. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. See, I just went through the whole Old Testament just like that. It's a miracle. But we're going to see a dramatic shift in the ministry of Jesus, in the role of the Holy Spirit. And you'll notice that when we read these verses. John 1, verse 29. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29. "The next day, John," talking about John the Baptist, "saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, and he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water.'" Verse 32. "And John bore witness saying, 'I saw the Spirit,'" talking about the Holy Spirit, "descending from heaven like a dove, that he remained upon him." Now note that, you should underline that in your Bible. "Remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" So instead of saying the Holy Spirit came upon a person to do something great for the kingdom, it says that he came upon Jesus and remained. And so this is a major, and Jesus changed everything. Jesus changed all the rules, changed, and so there is a point here in history. And now the Holy Spirit, instead of just coming on for a moment, for a situation, comes upon Jesus and remains permanently. And then he says, then Jesus will baptize people with the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk more about that. But you'll see a dramatic shift in the ministry of Jesus. after he is baptized in the Holy Spirit, after he's filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll see it. And that's 3.5 years of ministry. And so if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, if Jesus needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need it? I mean, he's the Son of God. Son of man, Son of God. But that was a dramatic point of his life. That was a change. And you'll see, you know, his ministry expand. So after Jesus was crucified, he died and was buried. He was raised on the third day. And then he says he appeared on the earth for 40 days. And during that 40-day period, he did teaching, more training, but he also gave instructions and commands to the disciples, the Great Commission that was given during this period. And he said, preach the gospel to all the nations. Then he said to them, make disciples. That was the command of Jesus. But he also told them, the disciples, to go to remain in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit. So let's read that account in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 in verse 4 says this. And being assembled together with him, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized. What does the word baptized mean? It means to immerse, to saturate, to totally cover. You shall be baptized, immersed, covered with the Holy Spirit. Luke says clothed with the Holy Spirit, not many, endued with power, endowed. Holy Spirit, not many days from now. And then in verse 8, he's going to give us the purpose of Pentecost. The purpose of the Spirit of God coming. Acts 1, verse 8. And Nate shared this. There's many byproducts. And last week I talked about the Comforter, talked about the Holy Spirit, talked a lot about his roles in our lives. But there's a main overriding purpose in being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's going to share with us in Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power. Now you know what Greek word that is? What is it? Dynamis. What's that mean? Dynamite power, miraculous ability. So you shall receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Say it again. Power.
Power.
You're doing pretty good. Have to work on that a little bit. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. There's the purpose. You shall be witnesses to me, Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And so that is the purpose, is to be a witness. The purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, you know, and in Acts 2, we'll read it, the evidence is speaking in tongues, but the purpose is for ministry, to minister to others, to share the gospel, for boldness, to step out and pray for people, to pray for others to be healed. You see it in the ministry of Jesus, and we're going to see it in Acts chapter 2. Turn there. Now we're going to talk about the disciples. And so we have, Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit. He passes that on to the disciples here in Acts chapter 2. Verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave utterance. So the day of Pentecost, it's a huge moment in the history of the early church. 120 followers were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this was during the time of the Feast of the Pentecost. And the Feast of the Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. And during this time, all the males within 20 miles of Jerusalem were required to attend. And so they're celebrating this Feast of Pentecost. And so there's a lot of people in town in Jerusalem. It's an international event. And many different languages are spoken by all the visitors. And so again, thousands of people on the street. And so the Holy Spirit comes into the upper room, fills the 120, and then sends that 120 out into the streets. And so they're literally blown out of that room into the streets. They're glorifying and praising God. And they're praising God in languages they don't know, unknown languages, that's ministering to all the people that are there. So they go from a cloistered, timid group to bold believers in an instant. You see that? Peter preaches this amazing sermon. 3,000 people are saved. This is Peter. This is the one who denied Christ. He was going to go back to fishing. I mean, he denied Christ to a little servant girl. How bold is that? And now suddenly, Peter's not afraid anymore. He's on the streets preaching, and 3,000 people respond to his message. I would say that's a pretty dramatic transformation. Now, one of the evidences of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. We call that an evidence. That's a sign that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But the purpose is for ministry. And we see that on the day of Pentecost. We see them now out on the streets, getting people saved, praying for people for healing, being bold, talking about the resurrection, giving witness. That's the purpose. Okay, now what about us? Because some people say, it passed away with the apostles. Well, you haven't read Acts 19 then. Because now it's going to involve us. Let's look at Acts 19, verse 1. You ready, Harry? Ready to go? Okay. If you're not, you're going to tell me? Okay. Acts 19, verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" That's a good question. I'll ask you that question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to them, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." So that's a baptism in water. Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're going to have a baptism at the end of May, right? Baptism in water, again, it's a public sign of an inward commitment. And what we're saying when we're baptized in water is we have made Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, and we're saying that publicly. And again, baptism represents a whole bunch of things. Buried with Christ. We died with Christ, buried with Christ, raised with Him. It's all about identity. Our identity in Him. It's a sign of that. So they heard, Paul shared with them, they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means they were born again. They received Jesus. Is this making sense? Now, so that happened. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So after salvation, there's another experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or being filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, we say with evidence of speaking in tongues. And that is for every person. It's not for people that are called Pentecostals. It's not for certain denominations. I mean, it's for every believer. And the purpose is for us to do great things for the kingdom. And so today, if you've not received, today is your day. Because if you want more power, if you want to be a bold witness, if you want to step out for Him, you need this. And so my son Harry is going to come and just kind of, in a practical way, help us enter into this.
How we doing, folks? Having a fun day? I just want to tell some stories. Is that all right? Story time with Harry Judd. Just to give you, I guess, just to give you a little bit of understanding a concept of what this will do in your life. One time I was with a guy. I picked up a homeless guy. And that's always a great way to start a story. I picked up a homeless guy, and he had been heavily into drugs, and he was on meth and all sorts of things. And I just met this guy at a gas station. He's out playing his guitar. I'm out there. He's like, "Harry, can you really help me today?" And I think a lot of times as Christians, you know, we like to say, you know, Jesus loves you, and we like to help people, right? But when it, like, gets a little bit uncomfortable, we don't really like to go the extra mile. That's when it's like, "Well, you know what, I've got somewhere to be. I'm sorry, I can pray for you, but, that, you know, I gotta go, man." And so I'm at this moment with this guy. I meet him, and he's like, "Harry, I need to go and get stuff out of this house. It's a really bad place for me. Will you come with me and help me get my stuff out of this house?" Now, this is just, it's a little sketchy, right? And so I said, "Yeah, man." And he's like, "Thank you, Harry. Thank you so much." He says, "This means so much to me." He's like, "Very few people trust me anymore." He's like, "But you, I can tell that you trust me." And I'm sitting there, I'm like, "Not really, man. But yeah, we'll go for this." So we load up in the car, and he's wiping off ants off of all of his stuff. He says, "I don't want to get ants in your car." And I said, "Well, it doesn't matter, man. It's okay. Ants aren't going to mess this up." But this is where this guy's at. We get in the car, and we drive over to his place. And he says, "You wait here in the car. I'm going to go grab my stuff. If anybody comes, just be ready to drive off." And I'm like, "Okay." And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, "God, is this a good idea?" And I didn't hear any response. So who knows? But he goes in there, and he's in there for a while, and all these people are walking by, looking at me, giving me funny looks. "Why are you here? Why are you in this neighborhood?" All sorts of stuff. And he finally comes out, and he's kind of arguing with whoever was in there, and then they're pointing at me, and you're just like, all right. But he finally comes out. I drive this guy all the way across town, drop him at a bus stop. Well, a few nights later, it's like late at night, you know, it's around 12 or so, I get a call from this guy. And he is freaking out about something. And it's not making any sense. He says, "Harry, I need you to call me an ambulance. I need you to do this and that, blah, stuff." And I'm thinking, man, you're calling me. Just, you know, hang up with me. You call the ambulance, you know. But all this stuff. And I just tell the guy, "I don't feel comfortable about the situation. I don't really know you that well. I'm not coming tonight. All right?" And you can do this with people, all right? You know, if you don't feel right about a situation, you can be real. I was just very honest. Like, yeah, his name was Ian. "Ian, I don't really know you that well. It's midnight. I need to go to sleep. I got school in the morning. But if you really need me, call me tomorrow at noon, and I'll come and help you." All right? So at noon, you know, I'd done all my classes. At noon, I get a call. "Ian, all right?" So I did my part. He did his part. He calls me up. "Will you come meet me at Barnes & Noble?" I say, "Yeah." So I get there. And he had just had some, he was on some drugs, and so he was really freaking out with me. And we're in Barnes & Noble having this little interesting conversation about things. And when people are on drugs, they just do crazy things, right? Say no to drugs, folks. I saw that somewhere. But this guy, he was freaking out. It was like somebody was over there talking about us and doing this, and he was telling me everybody knows what's going on. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, they hear us. I'm like, you know, we're not really saying anything. What? I just didn't understand at all. So he starts to freak out on me. So I kind of take him out of Barnes & Noble, and I said, "Ian, I know you're a Christian, right? I even know you speak in tongues. You told me you do. And so you're freaking out right now. Right now we're going to start speaking in tongues. Because you're getting mad at me about something that's not even, you know, I'm not even doing this. This is all in your head." I'm just very straight with the guy. And so he's like, "Okay." Right? I don't know why he trusts me or why he listens to me. But we both start speaking in tongues, praying in the Holy Spirit. It diffuses this whole situation. Praise the Lord. We didn't have a situation. And that's something that in your life, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it diffuses situations. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation that you needed diffusing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, one time my brother and I, we were driving, and it was early in the morning, and the roads were slick, and we were pulling onto I-20, and I was driving a 1989 Crown Vic, and the handling on that thing is, is quite interesting. And so I'm turning, pulling into that curve, and man, we just, you know, we did pretty much a full 360 just in a moment. And first thing I know, I'm sitting in the driver's seat. First thing I know is I hear tongues coming out of my brother's, you know, out of his vocal cords, you know. He's just, that's what he just went into. We had this scary situation, and bam, all I hear is tongues. One time, I'm standing there with my brother. We were, I was outside. It was a storm. I'm just telling a lot of stories. You guys like stories? I'm just telling stories from my life. You know, these things happen. You can believe them or not believe them, but they happen. And so I was, I had gotten up. It was raining real bad outside. I walk outside, and my brother's there. One of our friends are there, and one of them is telling some story, and we're just watching the rain, you know, ever so dramatically, right? We're telling dramatic stories, watching the rain. And, all of a sudden, I started to get tunnel vision, and everything just went black. Next thing I know, I'm on the ground. I can illustrate this, right? I'm like this. My foot is on, or my head is on my friend's foot, and I look up, and all I hear is tongues, right? So many moments in my life, all I hear is tongues. And I look up, I had just passed out. And you know what their initial response to diffuse the situation was? Speaking in tongues. And you say, that's weird, Harry. That's really weird. And I agree with you, it is weird. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is an empowerment in your life. And it says that when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit prays through us the perfect will of God. And you'll be in situations where you don't know what to pray or to say or what to do. And I got to tell you something. All you have to do is just pray in tongues in that moment. It's a big deal. I think of so many times I've gotten up in front of people and I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm doing. All I know to do is I'm just going to pray in tongues and hope this thing just works out. And it does work out. Man, there's times when I see sick people. I was in Starbucks the other day. And I'm sitting there, and there's a lady walked in, and she's limping real hard, right? And so she walks into Starbucks, and I'm sitting over there studying. And when I go to Starbucks to study, man, I'm on the lookout, all right? I'm looking for people who need Jesus. And a lot of people I don't speak to, but sometimes if I see something or, you know, hear something, then I'll go for it. Sometimes I don't. I'm scared, you know, just like you. I'm scared. But this lady, she's limping real hard. And I'm like, okay, God, you know, look at this lady. Do we need to do anything about this? And I didn't really feel anything. I didn't hear an audible voice. I didn't see an angel, nothing. And so I just see this lady. She goes and gets her drink. And she goes and sits back down. And I see her. She had pulled off one of her flip-flops, and she was looking at the foot that was causing her pain. And so right then, I just felt compassion for the lady. It wasn't, you know, some overly spiritual thing. I just felt, this isn't right. This lady is sick, her foot's causing her pain, and this isn't okay. And so I don't know if you've ever had that thought, but that's where I was that day. And so now I'm like, how do I get to her, you know? How, she's over there, I'm over here. Do I just walk up and say, hey, my name is Harry, nice to meet you. Can I pray for your foot? You know, this is kind of a weird thing. And so I'm just like working it out. And, you know, she goes over here, goes over there. She's walking around a little Starbucks. And so I just decide I'm going to catch her on the way out. So I let her do her thing. I let her walk out the door and then I take off. And that's a good strategy. I take off and I get outside Starbucks. And I'm sure the whole store can see us. And I just stopped the lady. I said, hey, I see you limping. You know, what's going on with your foot? And she tells me, you know, she had broken it and had all this surgery on it. And it's been like a long process and it hasn't been healing that well. And so I'm like, well, this isn't okay, ma'am. You know, this isn't all right. I tell her I'm a Christian and I believe Jesus wants to heal your foot. And then I tell her some things. I tell her when Jesus died for you, you know, his blood, it paid the price for your sins. But the wounds that he took on his body, the beating, the stripes that he took on his back, he did that for your body so that you could be healed. I said, have you ever heard that before? She says, no, I haven't. I said, do you know who Jesus is? She said, yeah, I've seen a movie about him. Thank God for movies about Jesus, right? She says, but I didn't know that. I didn't know that's why he did that and what that was all about. And I said, that's why. And so I'm nervous, you know, my hands are a little bit shaky. I mean, it's just an awkward, uncomfortable situation, right? And I'll just take a little side note right here. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. Do you know why He's the comforter? Because you're going to be in uncomfortable situations. He's not the comforter so you feel better at night when you go to sleep. It's because you're going to be in weird, uncomfortable situations, and He's going to be there to comfort you and to comfort the people around you. And so when I was there with that lady, it was uncomfortable. Standing out in front of Starbucks talking about healing, that's uncomfortable. And it got even more uncomfortable, let me tell you. I have her sit down, and I'm about to pray for her, and I have her take her shoes off. Now I'm about to touch this lady's bare feet with my hands. This hand, this one to be precise. That's uncomfortable. And I'm sure everyone around is wondering, what are these people doing? But we don't have time to worry about that. So I lay hands on the lady, pray for her foot, and she moves it around, and she just has the most, you know, kind of look on her face. And to be quite honest with you, I'm so freaked out myself that I just want to get out of the situation. And so she gets up, I know there's a difference, and I say, well, you have a good day. I go back into Starbucks, she gets in the car and goes on her way. Now I have to tell you something. That's not me. That's not me. The baptism of the Holy Spirit will cause you to do crazy things in your life. And I meet a lot of Christians who want to do what Jesus did, or who hear these great stories, and they want that in their life. And I just tell them, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you start yielding to the Holy Spirit, and you'll start having some stories. People around you will start changing. There's a girl that I know out at school. She had been prayed for about a couple years before I met her, but she had never spoken out in tongues. And so it had been this big thing, and she had experienced a lot of doubt about this whole deal. And so I just was encouraging her one day, and, you know, we teach about these things. And so we had gotten everybody up in the little group we were part of, and I just had everybody speak in tongues, you know. And we'll do that today. You just prepare yourself. I had everybody speak in tongues. And so she heard everybody speaking in tongues, and she said, that's just so beautiful. And I haven't heard a lot of people say that, because it doesn't always sound that beautiful to me. It sounds weird, but she says, that was just so beautiful. So that night she went into a little personal gym on our campus, and she was in there working out, and she said, tonight I'm going to speak in tongues. She goes in there, and she's working out, and she just starts, by faith, just stirring up whatever was in on the inside of her. And I got to tell you something, that night she got it, that night she spoke in tongues, praise God. Well, then a couple weeks later, she goes home. We had all gone back to our homes for spring break. I get a text from her. She says, I just talked to my mom about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And I said, wow, you did, that's amazing. She said, yeah, it is. She's like, I don't even know if I believe this. She said, my mom was asking me to pray for her, but I didn't even think I could. So just imagine this scene. You're explaining somebody some crazy supernatural thing, and they're encouraging, yeah, I want this, help me get it. And they're like, I don't even know if I believe that myself. You just see how ridiculous this is. And so that girl and her mom, they had a moment right there, but the mom didn't receive. Well, the girl's father, the family's from Romania, and he is a hard guy. And in his head, he doesn't trust in God, believe in God. He told me recently that, you know, when he grew up, it was all math and science. There was no room for God. It's all math and science. So she, to that guy, he was having knee pain. She prayed for his knee, and something happened to him, and it freaked him out. It freaked him out. He said, well, you know, it must be like hypnosis or something like that. Well, let me ask you something. How can you be hypnotized by something you don't believe? That just doesn't make no sense. And so so her father gets healed. And I got to tell you something. She told me, I didn't even think anything was going to happen. So there's something greater at work here. I say all that to say, there's something greater at work. It's not just like us making this up. There's people out here that are doing stuff. I've been in situations where I'm like, I don't even think this is going to work. And then somehow it does. And you got to say, what is that? What's the other factor? What's the thing that, you know, that could be doing this? It's God. It's the Holy Spirit, and His power lives within you. And so when baptism of the Holy Spirit, really what it is the stirring up of that power that lives within you. It comes up and it comes upon you. There's a river within you, but a lot of times your mind and your flesh and other things, it just dams that up. Dams is the good word, you know? It dams that up, and it won't let this river out of you. And so, but when you speak in tongues, when you prophesy, when you get in times of worship, what you do is you open that dam, and that river can come out of you. See, if the river's always within you, the people of this world will never experience it. The people out there, oh, it's great that you got the river on the inside of you, but man, if the world doesn't see it, who cares? And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you yield to God, and that thing comes rushing out. Man, I've been with some people, man, and it came rushing out. I was surprised. I think of a little guy, a little man in India I met. And he was the first guy, when my brother and I were in India last summer, he was the first guy to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit there. And I just remember, we explained everything to him. I just remember him getting on his knees and all this stuff rushed out. It was some other language. It was some heavenly thing. And we just rushed out. And so my brother and I just, we let him do his thing, and then we're trying to stop him, you know, because we've got an agenda, right? And so the guy says, you know, let me do this. You know, give me a few more minutes before you keep talking to me. And we said, all right, you're the one calling the shots now. And we just watched this young man just kneel there and let that river flow out of him. And that did, it changed his life. It changed his life. You want to be a Christian who has testimonies where you go and wherever you walk, that's where Jesus is. And not just because you say that, because people around you experience that and see that. Get this. Get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think a lot of times there's a fear about it, right? Well, you know, it's weird. It's uncomfortable. And honestly, as someone who, this is such a big part of my life, it is weird. It is uncomfortable. But when you push back that, you push past that, you see so much good from it. You see love and you see joy. I was telling you about that girl and her mother. The mother, I won't leave you at the end of that story. The mother came. She ended up coming to our campus like the last week of school. And she came out. I got to meet with her. And some girls went into our great prayer tower. And they prayed together with this lady. And she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues. And I have to tell you something. There was a lot of tears for that lady that day. And then I got a text from the girl about her mother. And she says, I've been praying in tongues night and day. And I have to tell you something. I felt so much joy. That's what it produces in our lives. Joy. So, I think some people think, maybe they're afraid of this whole deal, because they think that the Holy Spirit just takes you like a puppet, right? And He's going to take you, and you're just going to start speaking in tongues, and then He's done with you, alright? Okay, well then just randomly you might wake up one morning, oh, He's got a hold of you right now, He's got a hold of your tongue, and He's just going crazy, oh, okay. You know? Or maybe He'll grab you and He'll throw you on the ground, and this or that, all sorts of stuff. And I can tell you something, that's not how it works. You are the one who yields. You are the one who decides when to speak out. Right now, I could start speaking in tongues, and I could stop speaking in tongues. In fact, I've been in situations where people have asked me to speak in tongues for them. And I said, well, okay. And I started speaking in tongues. So you can stir it up. And so there's nothing to fear in that whole regard of God's just going to take a hold of your body and just make you do something you don't want to do. No. You're the one who decides. It's your mouth. It's your tongue. And He'll give you the words. So by faith, you speak out. By faith, you give voice, and then He meets you there with the words to say. And your mind has no idea what you're saying. But you know it's from God. You know it's good. You can have confidence in that. And then, my goodness, joy, peace, love, righteousness, boldness, all these things are stirred up. Last week, it was Monday, I had just gotten back from school, and I was out walking around the neighborhood, and I was feeling really tired, I was feeling really down about myself. You guys ever feel that way? You like to have pity parties, right? And so I was out walking around in my neighborhood, and I see a couple houses down, there was an ambulance in the yard, And so some days I would be like, yeah, let's go, you know, let's go see what's going on. I didn't, that was not how I was feeling that day. I wanted people to come and talk to me. I wanted people to come encourage me. I don't want to go encourage people today, right? And so one of my other neighbors pulls up, and he's a Christian, and he, you know, knows who I am and what I'm about and all this stuff. And so he's talking to me, and he says, oh, look at the ambulance over there. He's like, what's going on? And I said, I don't know, you know. And he says, you should go pray for them. They could all go get healed. You know, and he's all like excited. And I'm like, I don't want to do that right now. And so we have this little moment. It's my friend Chris. And he's like, you know, you should just go over there. Yeah, yeah, that's a really good idea. And then he just like puts his car in drive and just drives right off. And so there I am at the crossroads. Am I going to go and be who I'm supposed to be? Or am I going to go have a pity party? All right. You can make that decision on a daily basis. Are you going to go be like Jesus, or are you just going to go and be sad about your life? And so I said, well, we might as well just go see what happens. So I walk over there. They're pulling out one of my neighbors. She's on a stretcher. It's an elderly lady. And she said, Sonny, I don't want you to see me like this. And they put her in the ambulance and close the doors all dramatically. I'm not making this up. They close the doors all dramatically. And so I'm there with her 60-year-old son, a guy wearing a bandana, and he's got some interesting earrings, and I'm there, and he's just like, thank you so much for coming. And I'm like, okay, yeah. And so he just starts walking with me. They pull off the ambulance, there's a police officer there, they all leave. So now I'm there with the 60-year-old son, and he just starts going, starts talking. And I don't want to talk. Honestly, I don't really like to talk that much, except for this kind of situation. And so he just starts unloading his life, and I'm just listening. We're walking down the driveway. He gets to this point in the conversation where I'm like, the courteous thing to do would be to offer help, right? You guys all have that? We know these things are programmed into my mind. Well, I should, you know, is there anything I can do for you guys? You know, that's what I say. And he says, well, we really don't need anything but your prayers. And I say, praise God, my goodness, that's the only thing I have. I really couldn't do much else except pray for you. So I start praying for the guy. And right there in the driveway, this guy just starts sobbing. All right, just starts sobbing. Old elderly gentleman. And once again, I tell you guys, when people start crying, I don't know what to do. None of my training prepares me for that. And so I just comfort the guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, it's going to be all right. And so he goes over to one of our other neighbor's houses. I go back to my house. And then I feel on the inside, you got to go back over there. You can't leave that guy where he's at. So I go back over there, start talking to the guy. He starts talking about all these things and all this sickness and this and that. And I just sit there and talk to the guy for a couple hours in their house. And turns out the guy had gout, and he had all this pain in his left knee. And I said, well, Jesus is the healer, man. He's the healer, and he wants you healed and whole. Do you mind if I pray for you? And he said, oh, I believe in the power of prayer. And I said, well, I do too. So I just lay hands on him, and I don't think anything of it. We get up, walk around, go out throughout the house, and he tells me later, he's like, my knee stopped hurting. When you prayed for me, it's all gone. All the pain's gone. Praise God. That's not me. That's God working in me, working through me. You can have that same power. And in fact, most of you, that power lives on the inside of you. You got to start using that power. Okay? And so then the guy gets up. My brother ends up ringing the doorbell. Now there's two of us over at this person's house. And he rings the doorbell. And then the guy starts crying again. All right? And he's just like, you just don't know what it means. He's like, when I was walking down that driveway and I met you there, he said, I was about to have a heart attack. I was about to pass out. He says, but you were right there. And I got to tell you something. I very easily could have passed by that day. Oh, it would have been so easy because I was feeling bad about myself. Could have passed right by him. But thank God we went in the house. Thank God we went to talk to the guy. Thank God that God is bigger than me, and he knows all things, and he's going to put us in the right place at the right time, and he gives us the words to say, and he gives us the power. So I just got to encourage you today, people of Good News Church, or maybe you're new to this church, maybe today's your first time, this same power can live on the inside of you. And this life-giving power, it's not just for you. It's for the people around you. It's for your family. It's for your neighbor. It's for the random lady at Starbucks. It's for the person at your job. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what stirs up this power. It's where it comes from. And you yield to it. And you yield. And you yield. And it comes up. It comes upon you. And the world sees it. And the world experiences it. So this isn't just a little toy for us to come to church and play with. It isn't something just us to come together and have a good time. This is something that's supposed to bring change in our world. Amen? The government, they can try to bring change. Our school systems can try to bring change. All sorts of people. At the end of the day, what is going to bring change is when God gets on the inside of you and you start yielding to Him and you start acting like who you really are and you start letting that power out. That's what's going to bring change in this world. We talk about, whoa, where's America going? It's just so different. My day, you know, it wasn't like this. Blah, blah, blah. Well, let's make it like it's supposed to be. Start being a Christian. Start being a Jesus follower. Start doing what you're called to do. You can do it. You can do it. And how do I have any room to say that? Because I'm doing it. And I really am not much of somebody. My goodness, there's so many situations where I'm afraid. But somehow, some way, God works it out. And I got to tell you something. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you feel like a scaredy cat today, that's okay. I'm in the same boat. But this thing right here, this will stir you up. This will get you going. This will get you doing things. You'll look at yourself, is this really me? And so practically, how does this work? When you got saved, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, God's life, the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you. And you were made a new creation. You were made a new man. But I got to tell you something. That doesn't mean that God's life came upon you. And so we often think of it like there's a little trickle. There's a little something on the inside of you. There's a little measure of something in there. And when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, that little something within you gets stirred up and it comes out upon you. And the world see it. People see it. That's why speaking in tongues, it's something that people see, something people that hear. You know? It's very easy for me to tell you today, I'm filled with the Spirit, and then just stand. That's not very convincing, is it? But when you have something that comes up, comes out, and people hear it, people see it, it changes things. And so, basically, how do you receive? It's a gift from God. It's a free gift. He wants you to have it. You're worthy today. You're qualified. You have the faith today to receive it. You say, well, you know, I thought I had to be special. No, you don't. Right here, right now, today, you can have this. And I believe that if you want it, it's yours. Man, it's so easy to receive. Oh, it's so easy. Really easily. And there's people today that want to help you receive this gift. There's people today that want to help you walk in this thing. And when you do, it opens up things, man. It's just like a whole new world. I say this. Some people, they feel like inadequate when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They've heard like, well, if I don't speak in tongues, I'm something lesser. I got to tell you something. Speaking in tongues doesn't make you a mature believer. But mature believers will speak in tongues. So this is something you need to be a mature believer, to grow up in all that God has for you. You need this in your life. And it opens up things. Oh, it empowers you to be a witness out there. And so very simply, you ask God for this gift, and we'll do this together. You ask God for this gift, and then it's yours. And then by faith, you speak out what He gives you. Like I said, the Holy Spirit, He doesn't take a hold of you and take a hold of your body and make you just go crazy. All that. You yield. So it's very simple. We'll just help you yield today. You just quiet your mind and you just look inward, and there's stuff that's going to be stirred up, and then you just speak out what He gives you by faith. And it's not going to be what the person next to you is saying. It's not going to sound like anything you've ever really heard before. It's not going to make sense to your mind, and there's going to probably be doubt and be like, this isn't real. But I tell you something, it is real. It is real. And so today, if you want this gift, you can have it. It's yours. And we're just going to lead you through it very simply. I speak with great boldness and confidence today. Not just because I've read it in the Bible. That's enough, honestly. But I speak with great boldness and confidence today because I've seen literally hundreds of people receive this gift. I'm not exaggerating numbers. Hundreds of people. And I got to tell you something, there was nothing special about those people. You can just receive it just as easily. And it can be something that changes your life. It's going to change you, transform you. You're going to walk out of here different today. Amen? Amen?